Hello and welcome to Coffee Chat with Dream Life Creators, a podcast where we inspire, motivate, encourage, but also give you practical tips how to live your dream life here and now. I am Alinka Tercic, your host, and today I'm very excited to chat with Clay Green. Hey, Clay.
Hey, Alinka. It's awesome to be here. I love the technology. I love how
I love doing this. You know, I get to meet so many amazing people, and you're definitely one of those interesting ones that, you know, I know that we could talk for hours and hours, but our show is just 30 minutes, and I'm sure that a lot of people will look up, you know, after that for you for more information. But what stood out for me, you know, from what we talked before and what I know about you, is you are an expert of being in the zone. So that's the topic that, I mean, I love. I have a typical ups and downs, and you know, when I'm doing something that I love, I have, you know, this excitement, and then when you start working on details and not everything comes together, you know, you're so frustrated, why am I doing this, you know, what's wrong with me, and things like that. So how do you define being in the zone? And of course, how do you stay there?
I love how you like warn everybody. Okay, we only have 30 minutes, and then you ask that question, and basically that's everything. It's like I could talk for hours about this. I love this stuff.
I know, but you know we don't. Okay, so I'm sorry.
You hit on something I call, and I've heard other people call it, the emotional or entrepreneurial roller coaster, where you're up and you're down, and you're up and you're down. Well, what I've learned from a lot, I'm literally looking over at the books. I'm doing a lot of research right now. I'm in the middle of writing my book, and I'm looking at a stack of books over here next to me, too. And that emotional roller coaster is part of the process. The ups and the downs, the left turns, the right turns, all of it is part of the process. So in the zone, there's actually four stages when we start talking about this state of flow. So the state of flow consists of four stages. Now, the tricky part is what most people associate with that is in the zone. And that's just the third stage. I'm not flipping you off. That's the third finger. It's the ring finger. So the in the zone part, let's define that a little bit. That's that part where, you know what, the best way to do this I've found is examples. And a great example for most people is, have you ever started playing one of these video games on Facebook or on your phone, like Candy Crush or one of those kind of games? Oh, wow, that just tripped me out. You show muted, but I heard you. So you sit down, you know, and you're like, I've got 10 minutes before the interview. All of a sudden, it's 2 hours later. Time just disappeared. That's because you were in the zone. You were in the state of flow. These games, the technology, if you go search on it on YouTube, you find all kinds of interviews where Facebook and Google and all these executives have left these companies now because they realize how these apps are hacking our brain and putting us into a state of flow. Now, so time dilation or time dilution is one of the symptoms of the state of flow. Another one, and I love this one is my favorite one. It feels like you're part of the world or part of whatever you're doing. There's no separation between you and what you're focusing on. I hit that deer. I don't know. Do you know about the deer story?
I know it because we talked about it, but please share with others because I know it will illustrate what you're trying to say.
The story itself is about a 30-minute story, but to summarize it, I hit a deer going 85 miles an hour on a motorcycle and I did not crash. So that's about 150 kilometers an hour. So I was moving down the road, but I wasn't outside. That was normal. That was easy for me. So that was one very important trigger to the state of flow. But when that deer came off the side of the road and I saw its eye, I went into a state of flow. And in that moment, I was not just connected to my motorcycle. I was connected to the road, the deer, the trees. I was so in that moment. It was just, it was amazing. It was intense and it was wonderful. And it was horrifying at the same time. But so in the zone means, and then there's the benefits of it. The reason that you want to harness this, the reason you want to learn about it and harness it, is because when you are in the zone, the way your brain is working, it's literally superhuman performance. You're normally, like, there's so many examples in sports. Like the guy that knocked out Mike Tyson the first time, Buster Douglas, right? He was in the zone when he knocked him out, deeper than Mike Tyson was.
Right.
Right? So, like, you can't compare any getting things done system or process to actively managing your entry and safe exit from the state of flow. And so there is a definition in what it's all about.
Yeah, but you know what you described here, like being a superhuman and be, you know, having some sort of a superpowers, can be, you know, it can be damaging, because some people are looking that thrill, that you know, adrenaline rush, or you know, just going into the dangerous situations and don't drive so fast, you know. But how do we, let's say, normal people who don't like to risk that much, be in this similar state?
So actually, that's a very, I literally talked to somebody for the first time just the other day, and he told me about when he was a child, he was in a car accident, and he was like 6 or 9 years old, and he remembers waking, because he went to sleep in the car, and he woke up, and he was covered in blood, and his siblings were there, and he looked out the window, and his mom was sprinting down the street toward her house. She was almost home, about 100 yards away. And she was running, you know, full steam ahead to go get help. And they got to the doctor, and his mom had severely broken both legs.
Wow.
In a car accident. So it's those moments when grandma picks up the car, you know, a minivan, to pick it up off the burning baby or whatever. And that's what we're talking about. So it is definitely risky. It is definitely scary. And the dangers, so in my mind, there's two important things to communicate here about safety. One is knowing the dangers, and the other is respecting those dangers and putting triggers or stops or methods in place around it. And that's what I do. I help my clients build habits that put them into a state of flow and take them out of a state of flow safely. And we build these habits and these practices, and it's very unique for everybody. Your entry and exit is going to be different than mine. It's very unique based on your mind and your experiences. So risks. Professional video gamers face this risk because they are literally sitting there playing a video game and they're trying to perform. So they're allowing themselves to get into the state of flow. One of those dangers, can you imagine sitting there and playing a video game for 8 hours a day? What's that doing to your hands and your wrists and your neck and your back? So ergonomics is a real risk, like sitting here typing copy. When I get into the zone and I'm writing my book or I'm doing this other thing and I slip in. So then while we're on the topic of getting in the zone and losing track of time, water.
Yeah.
Food.
Yeah.
Relationships. Right? There's a lot of places of risk here. So the absolute most important thing to do, and this is, if anybody's out there and they're reading the books, and I can show you a couple books real quick.
Yeah, sure, of course. We always have books.
If you guys are reading the books and you're watching the videos and you're getting ready to try it, I actually interviewed a dude who heard me speak for about 4 hours. I trained a group for 4 hours on some tips and tactics that will help put you in a state of flow. he disappeared. He and a buddy decided they were going to go into a state of flow and knock out a pot and do some work. 3 weeks. 3 weeks later, they kind of came to. They had been working literally 20 to 22 hours a day,
wow,
sleeping 2 to 4 hours a day. They had been eating 1-2 meals a day sometimes. Hydration, it was horrible. Their families literally were worried and started to figure out how to do an intervention because they thought they must have gone, you know, gone and gotten into meth or into some kind of drug den and they disappeared. So he was literally, I'm sorry, he was in the state of flow for 2.5 weeks. It took 3.5 weeks for him to recover. For his, so we started talking about it. The beginning of the interview, we talked about the roller coaster, right?
Yeah.
So, and then I described how the zone is just one state in the four stages. The fourth state is recovery. And recovery is defined by and marked by those dips. So there's times when you had a really hard day, you're really working hard, and then in the evening you're just like, I'm done. You're like, why am I doing this? Did I do enough today? Did I help this person? Did I help? It's just, I used to make jokes about suicide here. Like, you get suicidal, but it's not a joke. I stopped doing that because people kill themselves.
Because it's real, yeah, because it's real.
Yeah. Another really good example of people that don't understand the stages of flow and how to handle this recovery period, athletes. Young athletes, like, instead of going to college, they come out of high school and they become professional athletes. They got millions of dollars, and so they go play games or they practice their butts off, and then they can't stay in the state of flow, so they start taking drugs, they start doing crazy stuff with women, and their life goes to crap. Rock stars and the stories of the 80s. When rock bands would go backstage and there would be these crazy parties. It's the same thing. They just didn't understand the four stages of flow and what to do in that recovery.
Wow.
Again, it's a very personal thing. How you address your downtime is a very personal thing. I have one tool that everybody uses, and it always works if you want to know what that tool is.
Yeah, of course. But before we jump to that, you know, I love how you are talking about the downtown time, because I remember I was working with some lady, and she was doing the tapping. She was a psychotherapist. And, you know, she always told me, look, for your daughters, they are in school, they have these homeworks and studies and everything. The most important thing that they can do is sleep. And I was like, oh no, they have so much to do and so much to this and that. And, you know, they will never catch up. But, you know, in understanding that we need it, instead of always pushing, you know, there are people like Gary Vee, he's, you know, high energy, and I love his teaching, but I cannot, you know, listen to him because it's too much for me. You know, pushing, hustle this, hustle that, and hustle babe, and hustle boss, and whatever. And it's just, you don't need to do that, you know?
Well,
even in the flow, you know, stay in the flow, be in the zone, you know? It's not what you are always there. You cannot reach that.
You can't, well, okay, so I want to be careful here. One, I teach people how to start small. You manage entry into the state of flow one day, and then in a week you grow it a little bit. You grow it, and you can grow the time that you're in this zone. But I'm 100% with you. There is such a bad rap out there around, you know, work hustle 24/7. Well, here's the twist that I put on it. If you're hustling, like right now, I'm in the zone and I'm talking to Alinka. And I'm having a great day, and I'm here with you, and I'm focused on you. That recovery period, that's when it's time to shut the world out and focus on me. So I might need to hustle and put the same intensity toward going to the gym, towards my meditation practice, towards my journaling practice, towards my diet, towards my 7 hours of sleep every night, period, no matter what, at least 7 hours of sleep.
I'm so just saying.
You've got to, well, no, that's, if you're not sleeping 7 hours, everybody, this is not a question, this is a fact. If you're not sleeping 7 hours a night, and yeah, there's a buffer around 6.5 to 7.5, everybody's different. But if you're not sleeping the minimum requirement, you're giving yourself brain damage. You're hurting your brain. You're hurting your brain's ability to be plastic, to be for neuroplasticity. You are damaging that rebuilding ability if you don't get enough sleep. So it's, you have to, so while they're talking about hustling, so if you're a car salesman, you know, there's the fat time, there's the awesome time to be on the lot. There's the awesome time to be sending emails and doing phone calls. And then there's the awesome time to be eating right, to making sure that your next week's diet and your shopping is done, to making sure your house is clean, to making sure your relationships are taken care of, to taking care of the self and hustling on you.
Wow.
It's very important.
Oh, I love that hustling on you, because yeah, I'm not a native speaker. So when I heard the word, you know, I went to dictionary and, you know, type it in the Google, and it has such a negative notation, and everyone is just work, business, work on business 24/7. It just didn't feel right for me, but you are right. We should put as much emphasis and as much energy and time into ourselves as we are in other areas of your life. And that's what I'm all about. You know, my dream life creation is like everyday processes that we do every day. And, you know, in all areas of life, because you cannot be, you know, healthy and successful or this or that. You have to be everything.
I love the dream life. My dream life is I never die. Like, like there's ample opportunity or ample examples, like James Dean, Marilyn Monroe, all these people that lived life like a firecracker, and then it was over. It's like, that was awesome, and they produced some cool stuff, but wouldn't it have been cool if they were producing today?
Yeah, giving us more. Awesome. So back to your story and what you were telling us about one thing that we can do to stay and safely. I understand now what you mean by safely, because honestly, I didn't get it what you're talking about. But you are so right. It has to be safe instead of, you know, going after the dangers and too fast driving.
It's not the danger zone we want to go into. It's the zone.
Exactly. So what can we do to get there and safely out?
Well, there's a lot of stuff. So first off, don't work for more than 60 minutes at a time. Set timers. That's just a generic little thing. Do what I call time blocks. And if anybody wants to, they can come to my website and they can – not yet. I'm working on it.
You said, okay.
You warned me that a link didn't work, and I have a lot of links right now that don't go where they need to go. I'm working on it. But soon, I'm going to have – I have a 5-day course that people can have, and one of the topics is time blocks. It is vital that we do time blocks. And then there's another lesson called the three habits. And my three habits – and I'm not going to – we don't have time to go into the gory details of it. But basically, if you're not doing these, start. And the trick is growing these habits, not doing.
And they are?
Meditation, journaling, and the third one is the magic pill that I was talking about. So when you're crashing down after a hard day and you're getting depressed, you can't plan this. Like it might not happen. It might happen at 4 p.m. today, and it might happen at 9 p.m. tomorrow. But like when you start to feel yourself coming down, meaning you start questioning everything, you start being angry at yourself or scared or frustrated, you're not going to make it or you're not doing a good job. That's the trigger to use this third habit, gratitude. There's a
coffee.
Lot of coffee, hustle more.
Coffee says anything.
No, hustle more, go faster, go harder, don't stop. No, no.
No, actually, I use coffee for my rest time.
Really?
No, yeah, really, because okay. Coffee for me, you know, I like the taste and everything, but the coffee for me is like we are in family, we get, you know, in the morning, we sit down, have a coffee together, and then in the afternoon, okay, let's have a coffee, you know, that means let's just sit down and chat, and, you know, when I say to friends, okay, meet me for coffee, that's again, you know, me time, and, you know, something like that. So yeah. For me, coffee is relaxed. Me time.
So this is what I mean by it being very personal, right? Everybody's stuff is very different. So the gratitude, though, gratitude. Let's focus on it is, and I wanna take a second. Do we have time? Yeah, we got a minute.
Yeah, we have time.
This habit is so vital, and it's so important, and it's so big. Most people will say, "Okay, gratitude. I'm thankful. I'm a grateful person." Okay, here's the exercise. Right now, look around. Pick something. You know what? I'm going to pick this journal that I have right here. I'm picking this journal. I want everybody out there right now to spend 5 minutes writing on a piece of paper describing why you're thankful that pen and paper exists. You can stop writing when tears are staining the paper because you're so emotionally connected to how thankful you are that that stuff exists. That's a gratitude practice.
So
as you dive down into, did I do enough today? Did I get enough done? Is it ever going to get easier? The world is horrible. It's so easy to just stop. You know what? And grab, I can spend hours writing and thinking and meditating about how I'm thankful for this little metal clip on the back of my phone or this sticky stuff that's sticking this little metal clip onto my phone case. The phone case. Why am I thankful for this phone case? I mean, it just goes on. You can just go. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. The other thing about gratitude, and we haven't gone here. What happened to me with a deer 5 years ago, I've got 30 years of experience of training people. And in extreme situations, like on submarines, under the water, to operate a nuclear reactor, I have some extreme training in my background.
You have some addictions to extremes, it looks to me.
I did. This is hilarious. I did. Until about 5 years ago, when I really started to understand how this works. And one of the pieces that I want to, so I'm a brain guy now, a brain expert. I don't have a PhD or anything like that, but I got a lot of real world examples and stories and situations. And there's a part of our brain back here that I call the oh shit switch.
Okay.
The reason is because on a motorcycle, this is the throttle on a motorcycle, right? On a motorcycle, if I see something and it scares me and I do that, did you see it?
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Everybody watch real close. Watch my hand. If I do that at the wrong time because my oh shit switch said, you're scared, oh shit. If I do that at the wrong time, I can die.
Yeah.
So I want to fast forward. So there's some motorcycle stuff. If you want to learn about riding a motorcycle safely, that's one thing. We're talking about building businesses and entrepreneurism.
Yeah, exactly.
What we want is we want our brain to go yippee, not oh shit, by default. We want brain to see the opportunities, the upsides. We want our brain to see the golden opportunity, not the potential pitfall. We want to be for some stuff. I'm going to keep talking for a second. So we want that to happen. And the number one way, the absolute most effective way to rewire our brains, and that's literally what we're doing, so that our switch goes yippee more than it goes oh shit is gratitude. They've done dozens, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of hours of testing, watching brains light up and where activity is happening. And basically it's like building a muscle, and you want to build the muscle that goes yippee more than the muscle that goes oh shit. Stop watching the news, start doing a gratitude practice.
I agree, and I'm all about gratitude. I also combine gratitude with journaling and with the intentions. So I'm very excited and happy about something that never happened yet, but you know, I'm already excited about it. So kind of when I post something or share something, even before this podcast, you know, I'm always somehow thanking myself and my guests and, you know, in my mind, you know, being very excited about the show, and it always turns out amazing, you know, and it just comes out what we need to hear.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm just going to say exactly. I got so much to say right there. Yes, I agree 100%. Train your brain, retrain your brain to see the good, not the bad.
Yeah, exactly. We have so much to be thankful for in our, you know, there is really nothing, you know, we have so much. And we get to connect all over the world, meet amazing people, and, you know, we have, you know, ever hardly don't have a phone or TV or computer, and, you know, yet we still complain, oh, yeah, that salad was not fresh enough, or, you know.
I woke up the other day, and my girlfriend and I, we were supposed to talk about this. My girlfriend and I, we travel in our RV across the country. Like, that's how we have lived almost 2 years now. And the RV spot next to us, it was empty the other day. And I looked out at the sunrise happening, and I was just, you know, in that moment. And I noticed the faucet, where the water connection, yeah, it was dripping. And I just, I dove into that. For about 5 minutes, I became so grateful for running water, that we live in a place where we can let that drip and people aren't dying from dehydration. I'm just so thankful. So thankful.
Exactly. We have so much to be thankful for. And, you know, there is no reason why we can't be and why we can't express it and look for the positive in our lives. It's just a decision, basically.
Well, here's what I found to be the tricky part. A lot of people, like, it sounds like you've got an awesome outlook and you've built it over your life.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Here's the trick. You're unique. We're all unique, and we've all had different experiences. And the overwhelming majority of the population, their wires, their brain is not wired like yours. It's not easy. It's not a simple decision. When I first started building my businesses, my message, the number one thing people would say to me would be, I know what I should be doing. I just can't get it done. I just can't do it. A lot of my stuff is still called get it done because of that. Because you don't, we don't. And you go to Gary Vee. He actually talks about this. He talks about how weird he is and how blessed he is with his family and the way that his family raised him. He's different. He's not like us. We were born, most of us did not go through what he went through. So our brains are literally wired differently. We have to rewire them, condition them, and train them to think differently if we want to go the way that they're going. We just have to.
But they have to be willing to participate and do the homework, you know?
Yeah, they do have to be. No. You know what? I'm gonna change the word you use.
Okay.
I'm going to add to it. Willing is one thing. Because I spent a lot of years and I was willing. But I still struggled. I still couldn't get it done. And I didn't know why. Okay. And it comes down to that switch I was talking about. I used to describe it with my ex-wife. She would say something, and I would know that if I said this, we would go into a minefield. I could just say that. You know, I could go left instead of right, and it would be safe and roses and beauty. I couldn't go left. I had to go right, and I couldn't. I didn't, and I kept repeating this same pattern. The answer is simple. You have to start really small. Really small. Baby steps. Build on the wins. That's the answer.
Yeah. I love that. And it is, you know, baby steps. You can, and I really cringe when I see someone, oh, I made 10,000 in 3 days. Oh, please. Please, people don't believe that. I mean, it is possible technically, but it is not possible in a, you know, not everyone can do it, just plug in and, you know, be rich next day. It's not possible. You have to grow, you have to do all the steps and, you know, everything. You have to be
the Picasso story. The Picasso story. Do you know the Picasso story?
Yeah, I know. What about the napkin?
Yeah, so that's the example. Picasso spent his entire life being able, learning and practicing so that he could create this art in a matter of seconds. So yeah, I believe it's possible somebody made 10 grand in 3 days, but it's not, they don't share, everyone hasn't had their experiences, right? So there's just too many variables. I mean, heck yeah, I know people that have done a lot more than 10,000 in 3 days.
No, I mean, it is, of course it is possible, but you have to be at that point where it is possible for you. It's not, you know, just, okay, I made it, now I'm teaching you how to do the same and everyone is expecting to make 10,000 or more in 3 days, you know?
You know, it's funny, I have this, I'm afraid of saying this, but I'm going to say it here for you, maybe for the first time. I help people learn how to make it possible for them to do that, to make 10,000 in 3 days. I help people rewire their brains so it becomes possible for them.
Awesome.
I'm afraid of telling people I help them make money. I'm afraid of that.
But sometimes that's the, you know, the push that they need, you know, maybe that's the tipping point that they make some changes or listen to someone even.
Yep.
Okay, so our time is almost over. I know, and I told that before, we can talk for hours about this. Where can people find more about you, where they can reach, where you also have, like you said, a free series that they can start watching. So tell us more about that.
I will send you a message or something with some links that work.
I will add the links under my blog post. I always do, but you know, because we are on YouTube and everywhere, you know, so people can just type in.
The number one place is probably Facebook, Clay Green, no E on the end, Clay Green. And when I started building my businesses, I sent out the questions to all my friends and family, like, what's the thing about me, guys? And they said, Clay, it's your enthusiasm. So I went and looked it up, and enthusiastically.com was available if it's misspelled. So my website is enthusiastically.com, but it's misspelled. Instead of however you spell it, it's enthusiastic, L-A-Y, enthusiastic,
it's Clay. Right. Awesome. Yeah, I will post the links, don't worry, but just, you know, if someone listens where they don't have the availability. Okay, I always ask my guests, you know, what would be the last, you know, like the simple advice for people to do, to think or whatever, you know, right now?
It's so simple. Me, Mind Valley, I'm blanking all of a sudden on the apps and the places to go. Calm headspace, do whatever you have to do, but start and grow your meditation habit. Transcendental meditation, the Silva method, Vipassana, I don't care. It doesn't matter what kind. Start and grow a meditation habit, a journaling habit, and in both of those, the thing to think about or the thing to write about, gratitude. Meditation, awesome. Journaling, gratitude. Meditate.
Thank you so much. And I'm really grateful for your time and for everything that you shared with us today. Have an awesome day. I'm Malinka Tercic, and this was the Coffee Chat with Dream Life Creators. Bye.
Thank you. It was awesome. Thank you.
Bye.